Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on this beautiful morning. I'm very excited that I can come again and be in your house, though I am not there physically, but you watching me in this moment, I'm right there in your house. And I want to welcome all of those who are joining us for the first time. Thank you for making the time to be with us today. This is Go Christian Church, Pretoria East. We are located in the eastern part of Pretoria, the most beautiful area of Pretoria. I know some people would not agree with that, but yeah, that's where we are located. Before we get started this morning, I want us to pray and commit this time in the hands of God. Father, we thank you this morning for this moment you've given us. We commit our lives into your hands. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us. Speak to my brother, speak to my sister seated at their homes right now. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you download that which is on your heart for us. We give you glory and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. That is what we do when we are in church, right? Allow me to start by saying this morning, when I was young, me and my family, my dad, my sisters, my mom, we used to watch wrestling. Okay. I don't know how many of you enjoy watching wrestling, but I have not been watching wrestling probably for the past 15, 20 years. But in my heydays, when I was younger, we used to watch wrestling. And I remember it was late 80s, early 90s, and the guys who used to be popular then were guys like Ric Flair, the Bushwhackers, Roddy Piper, Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan, right? I'm now dating myself. And it was always beautiful to watch this with the whole family. But you see, after watching a beautiful match, as a youngster, you would feel like, I can do those moves. Remember, who is this guy who used to do DDT? You know, you'd feel like, I can do that move as well. But every time that you'd watch a wrestling program, you would find that they would put a disclaimer right before or right after. And the disclaimer would go like this: please do not try this at home or at school. Please do not try this at home or at school, because they knew that some youngsters would try and do this thing that Undertaker would do on you, all right? Now, this is where I want to start my message this morning. Even as we are continuing on our beautiful series, Glory Dispensers, and today we are doing part 3 of Glory Dispensers. Now, in the same way that there was a disclaimer, or there is a disclaimer whenever wrestling is shown, there's also a disclaimer around being a glory dispenser. And this morning, I want to say to you, whatever you do, don't try this by yourself. Don't try to show God's glory by yourself. The reason why I'm saying this is that many people have tried to be self-made glory dispensers, and in the process, they have tarnished the name of the Lord. They have tarnished their own names. I'm sure you are aware of people who have tried and they've done fake miracles in order to gain mileage for themselves. What is going on there? The issue is they are trying to be glory dispensers that are self-made. Just as it is in wrestling, you need to be a professional person, or you need to have a professional person with you to go hunting, for instance, or to do these dangerous games and whatever it is. You need people who are trained to be with you, people who have done it before and they have experienced a measure of success. Now, this morning, as you are embarking on a journey of becoming a glory dispenser, I want to take you on a journey that I want you to realize that every glory dispenser is a friend with the Holy Spirit. He is a friend of the Holy Spirit. And that takes me to my title this morning of this part 3 portion of our series. And we're going to be talking about friends with the Holy Spirit. It's such a beautiful thing to know that when you are walking with the Holy Spirit, you are never alone. You've got God inside of you. You've got God around you. But you've got to be friends with the Holy Spirit if you are to be a glory dispenser. I want us to go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. We are catching the Lord Jesus in the 40-day period that he had risen from the dead. And the Bible says he showed with great signs that he had risen from the dead. The Bible tells us that for 40 days, the Lord Jesus was showing himself to his disciples and proving that he was really alive. Now, on verse 4, in one of the occasions, the Bible says, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This was Jesus having a conversation, an intimate conversation with his disciples. And it looked like Jesus was giving them a warning. It looked like Jesus wanted to pass on a very important message to them. He was saying to them, I've spent these 3.5 years with you, and these years I've shown you glory. I've shown you how miracles are done, but you are not ready to do that by yourself. And for that reason, I'm going to ask you, fellow brothers, to stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. He was saying to them, where you're about to go, you cannot do it by yourself. The kind of demand that will be placed on you, you do not have the capacity to meet that demand. And Jesus was saying to them, I don't really trust you by yourself. I've got to be with you. And you need the Holy Spirit. And allow me to say to somebody this morning, maybe you've been sensing a calling over your life. A calling to minister to your neighborhood. A calling to minister to your family. That's a beautiful thing. But again, we should put a disclaimer. Don't do it by yourself. Don't try it by yourself. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise. Let's look at verse 8. It will give us an insight of why Jesus was saying this. In verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus was saying here, I am concerned about the witness and the level and the type of witnessing you are going to present before the people. And by yourself, you will not be effective witnesses. And this morning, I want you to know that God is concerned about his reputation. He's concerned about his glory. He's concerned about how the world will view God. Because I want you to know that the world only has a picture of God that they see in you and through you. And Jesus was saying to them here, you will receive power. And when this power comes upon you, you will be turned into a mean machine for me. Glory be to God. You'll be turned into an effective witness. You see, Jesus had done great works, and he was going to do great works. And these people were going to be witnesses. You know what a witness does? In the court of laws, a witness would come up and they would testify and they would say, I was an eyewitness when this crime was committed. And this is exactly how it happened. And Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you are going to give an accurate witness to the people, you need power, you need dunamis, you need an enablement of the Holy Spirit. And saints, this morning, I want you to know, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to be effective in what God has called us to do. If you are to be an effective witness to your family, you need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, there's something here that Jesus is saying concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, when he comes, you will receive the power from on high. It tells me something, that when a child of God has got the Holy Spirit working in them, they step into an extraordinary level of life. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, the Holy Spirit will add the super to your natural. Where you were natural before, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, guess what happens? You become supernatural in some of the things. Look at this. The Holy Spirit enables, capacitates, and it supercharges a glory dispenser. It means that He creates in you capacity. He grows the inside of you so that you're able to deliver, so that you're able to carry the weight that will be placed on your shoulders. Glory be to God. That is why Jesus would say, "My load is not heavy and my yoke is easy." All that happens because of the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, the load of working for God will be too heavy for you. It will be too heavy for somebody. You see, you need the Holy Spirit because the glory of God is a matter of the Spirit. You need to be connected in the spiritual realm for you to dispatch, for you to be able to release the glory of God, because the glory of God is attained in the Spirit. That is why you need the Spirit of God in your life. In John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, He started talking about the type of worshiper that God is pursuing. He said the Father is looking for a worshiper that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because the Father is spirit. Now, if you are to do things of the Father, you need to connect with Him at the level of the Spirit. Glory be to God. You see, being a glory dispenser cannot be done by one's experience. It doesn't matter how many years you've been born again. It doesn't matter how many people you have in your church. You cannot do it based on your own abilities. You need the power from on high. Even the Lord Jesus, before He commenced His earthly ministry, He had to wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You remember the story, I'm now in Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist was baptizing the Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus rose from out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Him in the form of a dove. That was a picture of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Father spoke to His Son. He said, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Bible tells us that out of the power of the Holy Spirit, He went about doing good. This was mentioned by Peter when he was preaching to Cornelius and his family in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible here says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. For what reason? And He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. I like the way this was positioned. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It did not speak of title Christ. It spoke of Jesus the man. And that opened up a whole possibility for everyone who is a man. I want you to know, as long as you are a man, I'm talking about man in the spirit, yeah, not just biological makeup. If you are a man, I want you to know there is a possibility of you being filled with the Holy Spirit and for you to be able to walk in power. Glory be to God. I like the song by Sinaj that says, "I walk in power. I know who I am. I walk in power." This power is not physical power. This power is power from on high that comes through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had to be anointed and had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit before He commenced His ministry. Surely if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to wait for the Holy Spirit, how much more me and you? We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible tells us here, "Then He answered and spoke to me, saying, 'This is the word of Jehovah to Zerubbabel.'" And I want to say that this is the word of the Lord to God Christian Church. This is the word of the Lord to you, child of God, wherever you're watching from. That it's not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says Jehovah of hosts. It's not by power. You see, so many times we base our today's ability on what we did yesterday. We tell people that when we used to operate in miracles, And you're drawing a conclusion that because it happened yesterday, it's going to happen today. It's not by power, it's not by might, it is by the Spirit of God. You need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need to be walking closely with the Holy Spirit for you to experience a greater dimension of the glory of God in your life. I want to encourage you right now, whether you're a worship leader, you're a cell group leader, or you're a leader at work, you need to tap into the dimension of the Spirit. You need to tap into the dimension of the supernatural for you to be able to dispense the glory of God. Do you know that without the help of the Holy Spirit, a worship leader will only attain to the level of performance? Where you perform to please people, where you perform to tickle people's emotions. But when you are imbued by the power from on high, you shift gears from performing to ministry. Where you minister life, glory be to God. You see, after the Pentecost, something happened to the apostles. There was a power that came upon them. They were no longer the same apostles that they were before the Holy Spirit came. You know how Peter was naive, how Peter would miss the way he would speak sometimes. But after the Holy Spirit, there was a higher dimension of boldness, of authority that was upon them. You remember when Peter was preaching in the temple, those who looked around, they said, "These men are not educated, but they were with Jesus." You see, they had walked with Jesus, and now Jesus was inside of them, and the power of God was being revealed. Hallelujah. Now, this is what happens when you walk with the power of the Holy Spirit. When Peter was passing through the beautiful gate, he saw a man that was lame. And the Bible says he looked at him and he ministered healing. He was able to minister healing because there was power inside of him. Glory be to God. The church operated, the new early church operated a higher dimension of miracles because the Holy Spirit was upon them. Now, I want you to know this morning that every child of God is born of the Spirit. Because salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit upon your spirit that was not regenerated. Now, I want you to know that there is something more. There is more in God. The Spirit that brought life on you wants to be deposited at a higher dimension. So what I'm talking about here, you being able to operate in your gifts, you being able to operate in power, it is as a result of the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're born again, but there is more in God. I don't know if you are not wanting more right now. If I know that there is more in God, I would dig deeper in order to experience more of God. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience that believers have over and above being born again. It is a separate experience. I know it's a bone of contention for many, but let me show you a little bit here from the scriptures that it is an experience that when you have it, you will know, because something will happen upon you. You will walk and operate in power. Glory be to God. The first experience was when the disciples were filled in the upper room. That is what we've been alluding to, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God came in the form of tongues of fire on each one of them, and something special happened. The Bible says they were given utterance. They spoke in a language that they did not know before. It was a language in tongues of men, because those who had congregated in Jerusalem, they could hear them worshiping God in their own language. It was something so beautiful. So baptism of the Holy Spirit happened in the upper room. The second scenario is what happened in the among the Samaritan believers in Acts chapter 8, whereby they were prayed for. You see, though there was no evidence of speaking in tongues, because the scriptures does not allude to it, but something physical happened, which was before everybody to see, because there was a sorcerer there by the name of Simon who wanted what he saw in the disciples. He wanted to buy what these disciples had experienced. So something happened. These were believers already. A third scenario is in Acts chapter 9, where Paul of Tarsus, had an experience with God on his way to Damascus. Ananias was called by God to go and minister to him salvation. And then he also said, Brother Paul, we want to pray for you that you receive the Holy Spirit. So it's an experience that you can have over and above being born again. Another experience is in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, where Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household. And the Bible tells us that as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they started speaking in a new tongue. This was a double dose. They got regenerated, and right there at the same time, they were baptized in the Spirit and they started speaking in a new tongue with the evidence of speaking in a new tongue. Another scenario was Paul preaching at Ephesus, and the believers in Ephesus received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in a new tongue. The Apostle Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in a new tongue. So what am I saying to us this morning? We can experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, there is power that comes upon you. Gifts are imbued upon you. You will be able to preach like never before. You will be able to interpret tongues. You will be able to lay hands upon the sick and the sick will be healed. Why? Because the Spirit of God comes and he ignites the gifts of God. He deposits the gifts of God in you and you are able to operate effectively as a witness for Jesus Christ. And now how does one experience this? Very, very simple, child of God. You can ask the Father and you will receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. You will receive the filling in of the Holy Spirit. What I like about the filling in of the Holy Spirit, it is a continuous process. You go out there, you experience leakage, hey? You experience leakage, but you come back, you are filled in again. You are empowered more and more for you to be able to continue running the race that has been set before you. And I want you to know, you can ask the infilling of the Holy Spirit and you will experience this. Why am I saying this? The Father wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You are his son, you are his daughter, and he loves you. Dearly, he loves you perfectly. You can ask the filling of the Holy Spirit and you'll experience it. Now, Luke 11, verse 9, the Bible tells us here, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. There's a level of persistence here. Sometimes you might have just to wait for a while, but you keep on asking. The desire needs to remain. Glory be to God. Verse 11 says, for what father of you, if the sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake for a fish? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? I want you to know that when you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will not give you anything else. You will not receive a demon. No. You receive the Holy Spirit. I've ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit to a lot of people. And some of them would ask, what if I do not receive the Holy Spirit? What if I receive something else? What if these tongues I'm now speaking is something else that is not of God? When you step out in faith, you will receive nothing but the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit because if earthly fathers will not give a snake when a son has asked for fish, will your Father in heaven give you something other than the Holy Spirit? We need some faith. Glory be to God. The starting point is for you, having received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and then you step out in faith. You submit your body, you submit your tongue, because that is the point that he wants to control. He wants to use your tongue to enable you to speak in an unknown language. Glory be to God. Now, when you look at the issue of the Holy Spirit, he is a promise that was given. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible tells us that, and it shall come afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. And also I'll pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave women in those days. No one is excluded. You might have been old in the Lord, or you are young in the Lord. I want you to know it's a promise for you. When you are hungry for the promise, when you wait patiently for the promise, and you walk by faith, the Bible is telling us the young men will receive, the old men will receive, the workers will receive, and there will be an enablement of the Holy Spirit. You will see visions, you will dream dreams. There's an impartation of the gifts of God in our lives. And when you ask, I want you to know that you will receive graciously. The Lord Jesus alluded to this. He says here, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter so that he may be with you forever. The Lord Jesus went up and told the Father, it is time to release the promise. It is time to release the promise. And he wants you to have the Holy Spirit. Now, having covered those basic foundations, because I thought it would be important just to lay a little bit of foundation around the Holy Spirit so that you can know that the Holy Spirit is not a far-fetched concept. Being baptized in the Spirit is not a far-fetched concept, and you need it for you to be a glory dispenser. Now, for the rest of the message, I want to just deal with the issue of how do we connect with the Holy Spirit? How do we connect with the Holy Spirit? You see, you need to come to that place where you make the Holy Spirit your closest ally. With the Holy Spirit in you, around you, you need to take advantage of that. Every child of God who has the Holy Spirit, who is born of the Holy Spirit, has got what I would call a competitive advantage over anybody else. Because you are walking with God inside of you. It means that when you are in your boardroom, you've got God inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? In other religions like the Buddhism and Hindu and all of that, they have to carry their gods. They have to carry their gods wherever they go in order for them to pray to that God. But for us, we carry God with us in our spirit man right there. He is not a physical thing that we have to see, but the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, that is God himself. Glory be to God. It's not as if you leave God in your room, in your small temple there. No, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. That's an advantage for every believer. But my question is, do we pay attention to the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit our closest ally, or he is an afterthought? After we have gone into trouble, we then think, there must be the Holy Spirit. Well, at least you'd have thought about it. But I want you to come to a place where the Holy Spirit is so close to you that you connect with him. One of the things that I've realized in the body of Christ is that we are very comfortable talking to God the Father. We are very comfortable dealing with God the Son. But we are not very comfortable dealing with God the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. You even go into certain churches where they'll tell you, you cannot pray to the Holy Spirit. It is as if there's jealous in the Godhead, where the Father would feel jealous if the Holy Spirit is being worshipped. But this morning I want to debug that myth that the Holy Spirit is God. And therefore we're able to say, Holy Spirit, I worship you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Without committing heresy or blasphemy. The Holy Spirit is God. Hallelujah. The question is, how do we become close allies with the Holy Spirit? How do we become close allies with the Holy Spirit? Number one, we need to ask him to lead us on a daily basis. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has got the capacity to lead you, to order your steps when you wake up in the morning? When you go into a meeting, the Holy Spirit can lead you and can enable you to direct the affairs of the meeting. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is able to tell you how to speak to people? I'm talking about the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you have a friend who knows how to get to a certain place, and yet you do not ask directions from the friend, aren't you a little bit being foolish right there? If you have your wife, this happens a lot to those of you who are married. You have a wife who knows how to get to a place, and you're driving and she's busy giving you directions, but you shut her down. Why? Because you are the man and you're the one who's driving. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is like a friend who knows the directions around you. He is a friend who knows a place that you don't know. Glory be to God. The question is, do we allow him to lead us wherever we should go? It is a trademark. It is a major trademark of a believer to be led by the Holy Spirit. When you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." It is a trademark of a child of God to be led by the Spirit of God. When you read chapter 8 of Romans, you'd realize that Paul was talking about putting death to our fleshly tendencies. He was saying, remove the fleshness out of you, remove the carnality out of you, and live by the Spirit. So I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he will lead you to live a spiritual life. You see, before you were born again, your inclination was carnal. You would always look for things that are carnal in nature. Your desires, your appetite were carnal by nature. But when you are regenerated, the Holy Spirit steps into your life and he changes your appetite. He changes your cravings. He makes you to crave for the word. He makes you crave for fellowship. He makes you to crave to spend time in the presence of God through prayer. Then you're being led by the Spirit of God. But I believe it goes beyond that. The leading of the Holy Spirit comes to a point of promptings. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to do certain things, when the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray for certain people, when the Holy Spirit prompts us to visit certain families, because there would have been a need there that he is aware of. Can you see how it is so closely related, being led by the Spirit and dispensing the glory of God? Because God knows it all. He knows everything. Glory be to God. And when he knows something, he is looking for an instrument that is attentive to his Spirit so that he can lead that instrument to dispense the glory. Hallelujah. When you look at the Bible, you'd find that in John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you." Look at that. He will guide you. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You see, when you go to a game park, when you go to Kruger National Park, or you go to Gonarinjo, or whatever it is, you'd find that there are game drivers, there are people who guide you. They will lead you into certain areas where they have had sightings before. They will tell you that in these days, the lions are found in that valley. Or these animals are found in that corner, and they will guide you there for you to experience wild game. Now, the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He comes and he guides you into the truth. He guides you and leads you, and you avoid mistakes when the Holy Spirit guides you. Hallelujah. You see, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, and a man comes and they propose to you and they say, "You are my wife." When you are led by the Spirit of God, you'll be able to attest to what they're saying. You'll be able to say, no, this is not true. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is guiding you. You see, every time someone is led by the Holy Spirit, something supernatural happens. Something out of the ordinary happens because the Holy Spirit, one, is empowering you. Two, he's leading you to a place where your ministry will be received. You see, when you look at Peter was one person who was being led by the Spirit of God. At some point, God was leading him to start ministering even to Gentiles and not to look down upon them as the chosen one of people of God. And they, at some point, Peter had a vision of a tent that came down with birds of different types, and the birds were unclean according to Jewish culture. And God was saying to him, "Wake up and eat." And in a way, God was telling him, right now, there is nothing called unclean. And God was saying to him, do not call something unclean that God has called clean. And now we catch Peter in this instance in chapter 10, in chapter 10, verse 19. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Therefore arise and go down and go with them without doubting, for I have sent them." So profound. I would like to think that if the Holy Spirit had not come and given him guidance and direction, he might not have gone. Or he might have wasted time deliberating and thinking and questioning people whether he should go with these Gentiles. But because the Holy Spirit had already prompted him, it was not difficult for him to concede to their request. This is what happens when our churches are being led by the Holy Spirit. Some fights that happen among the church leadership will not happen because you find that when a leadership comes together, the Holy Spirit would have ministered to each one of the leaders and they all come into agreement without butting their heads. This is so profound, saints. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, what was meant to take us 6 years, it will take us one day. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will quicken the process because he knows the direction. Again, if you don't know how to get to a place in the absence of a GPS, you will take longer to get to your destination. But when the Holy Spirit is your GPS, he will position you correctly. He will show you the shortest route between where you are and where you want to go. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, our businesses will take off quickly because we will know who to engage in business. When proposals come on your desk, the Holy Spirit will lead you that this is not of God. Do not take the proposal. And that will save you a lot of heartache and a lot of moolah and a lot of money. Glory be to God. I'm talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. There's another place where the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. The Holy Spirit stopped him from entering into a certain region to preach the word. Now let me show you that one. I find that very profound. In Acts 16 verse 6, the Bible says, "And coming through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, and by the Holy Spirit being forbidden to speak the word in Asia," they wanted to do the good thing. Preaching the word was good, but was it the right time? No, it was not the right time. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will prohibit you from engaging certain people. Not because the people are bad, but maybe because the season is not right. There are some people that have been removed from my life because the season was not right for them to be in my season, to be in my life rather. But when the season was right, they were brought back. Glory be to God. So this morning, it was not the devil that stopped them from entering that region. It was the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you need to stop fighting the devil, because whatever is not happening in your life, it might have nothing to do with the devil, but everything to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are we sensitive enough to know that this is the Holy Spirit leading me? Now it says here, "He had forbidden us to speak the word in Asia. And having come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them." Again, so the Holy Spirit had something here. The Holy Spirit did not allow them again. When you look at, let's see here. "Then passing by Mysia, they came down into Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night." A vision appeared to Paul in the night. "A certain man of Macedonia stood begging him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" You can see that the Holy Spirit will stop you from doing certain things, but he will lead you into something else. Hallelujah. You are taken out of something and you're led into something. Paul was stopped from preaching in Mysia, but he was led to go to Macedonia. And oh boy, what a powerful ministry that took place in Macedonia. Powerful ministry happened in the Macedonia cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. God wanted the Bereans, wanted the Thessalonians to experience God. It was their time. I'm talking about the timing of God in your life. When the timing of God is right in your life, you'll experience the outpouring of miracles. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is the question. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you? How has he been leading you around your family, around your business, around your ministry? Hallelujah. Right now in South Africa, the churches are being allowed to meet from the 1st of June. The question is that the will of God for our church right now? We need the Holy Spirit to lead us to know whether we should actually be meeting. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want us to cover point number two around making the Holy Spirit your ally. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the hows. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to do things. Why? He is the greatest teacher of all. The Holy Spirit will teach you. So many times we don't know how to do certain things. So many times we do not comprehend situations and circumstances, and we need someone who knows how to go around things. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher, and when you ask a good teacher some questions, you will get help. My issue is that we do not ask the Holy Spirit for help. We do not ask the Holy Spirit to teach us certain things. The Bible tells us in John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." But the Helper, the Paracletos, that's the Greek word of helper there, the one who runs alongside, the one who runs with you, encouraging you, telling you how to do things. Hallelujah. The question is, do we listen to the coach? I have watched certain rugby matches where some players do not listen to what the coaches would have told them to do as a game plan. And as a result, they lose the match because some players were big-headed to do their own thing. The question is, the teacher is with you right now, but do you listen to the teacher? Do you pay attention to instructions? You see, the teacher will give you a manual of how to do things, how to build certain things. But do you read through the manual that you've been given by the Holy Spirit? There is a manual on how to run your marriage, which is the Bible, the Word of God. Do we read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to unpack the principles that we find in the Word of God? Hello, somebody. I'm talking about asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, because he tells us here that he will teach you all things. And I want you to know, when he says all things, it means all. It's both spiritual things as well as natural things. Things that have to do with our day-to-day life. Glory be to God. You see, when you look at the whole issue of speaking and communicating, when you're talking to your friends, when you're talking to people at work, sometimes you don't know what you should say, or you want to make a presentation before the board. All of a sudden, you find yourself, you are jittery. You don't know exactly how to string your lines. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Why am I saying this? When you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says here, "And when they bring you into the synagogues and to rulers and authorities, take no thought as to how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." The Holy Spirit will teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. This will happen when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit. It has happened to me so many times in counseling situations. And those of you who have had access to our counseling ministry, you'll attest to this, that there will be such wisdom that comes out, and the Lord would give me questions that will get to the heart of the matter. Sometimes I get into a counseling situation and I'm saying to the Lord, "I really don't know how to address this matter." But as I start and I allow the Holy Spirit to help me and to teach me, he just puts words into my mouth, and profound things come out of those counseling situations. What is going on here? The teacher, the Holy Spirit, is putting words in my mouth. And I want you to know he can do that for you. Glory be to God. And in the process of being attentive to the teacher, you will become a glory dispenser that is effective. Hallelujah. The teaching of the Holy Spirit will also protect you from heresy, from false doctrine. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will teach you nothing but the truth. The Holy Spirit will teach you nothing but the truth. And right now, this is the security for a lot of believers. If you sit in a church where heresy and false doctrine is being taught, and you are open to the working of the Holy Spirit, it's a matter of time before you pick it up, and you have to make a choice whether to address it or to walk out. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Glory be to God. He will bring deeper revelations of the Word of God. Look at this. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. It's not about arrogance here where you refuse people to teach you. I'm saying there's a deeper dimension of teaching that you might not be able to get from anywhere else, but from the working of the Holy Spirit. There's revelation that comes through the Holy Spirit. He is called the Revelator. He opens our eyes and he teaches us principles. Now he says here, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true to no, and is true and no lie, and as he has taught you, abide in him. We need to abide in the Holy Spirit as he teaches us the Word of God, as he unpacks doctrinal issues that are difficult to grasp. And as we wait on him, things will become clearer and clearer and clearer. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to realize that he is not only able to teach you on things of the Spirit, he will teach you concerning your career. And I want you to know that your next promotion will be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Your next promotion, your next business deal will be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, who will teach you to do things in a supernatural way. I'm a consultant by profession, and I did some work with my with a client of mine about 8 months ago, and we were able to really crack this project, and money flowed in. My client made a lot of money on that project. And when I look back, it wasn't because I was very smart. It was because the Holy Spirit taught me to pay attention to certain aspects of project management. And whenever I meet this client, I was with them a couple of days ago. He introduced me to one of his business partners and said to me, "This is Michael. He helped us on this project where we made a lot of money." And in my heart, I knew it was not my doing. It was the doing of the Holy Spirit who taught me to look at certain aspects of the project. You will find this in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. After the tabernacle, the blueprint was given to Moses on how he ought to build the tabernacle. It was going to be an intricate structure. And given the fact that they were in the desert and walking through the desert, they needed skill. And God said to Moses, "Do not worry about skill, for I have empowered Bezalel. I've empowered certain people to with the ability to build." And look at this. The Bible says here, "And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, 'Behold, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, and in all workmanship.'" Saying that a place of prayer right there. But you need to be aware of the ability of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to receive wisdom concerning your workplace. You'll be able to receive understanding. You'll be able to receive knowledge. You'll be able to receive ability in all workmanship. Are you a craftsman? Are you a painter? Are you a programmer, a computer programmer? Are you a person who does coding? I want you to know there's an inspiration that comes when the Holy Spirit teaches you. Glory be to God. Maybe you're an artist, a worship leader. You're about to record your next album. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you certain chords. Hallelujah. That when people listen, they can really say, "This is very spiritual." Glory be to God. This is what God was saying, that Bezalel is packed. Bezalel has got everything that you need. And saints, this was in the old covenant. Bezalel would experience the power of the Holy Spirit whenever he was there working on his stones. And the Holy Spirit will depart again. But for you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He abides in you. So if you pay attention to the teacher who is inside of you, you will not make too many mistakes. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, when you look at verse 4, it says there, it is the ability to devise designs. It is time that new designs emanate from the church, that believers would come up with new designs. We need our current Albert Einsteins. We need those people to rise up in the church, because the church is not a begging bowl. The church is a place of solution. That is why God is saying here, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to devise designs, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all workmanship. I'm talking about being a glory dispenser of great excellence. We need our Henry Fords to rise up from the church, who are able to design things and receiving blueprints in a vision that is possible when we pay attention to the Holy Spirit as our closest ally. What am I saying to us this morning? The Holy Spirit enables us. The Holy Spirit capacitates us. The Holy Spirit supercharges us. He adds the super to the natural for us to be able to be a blessing to people around us. We can ask the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Father to fill us of the Holy Spirit. And when we pay attention to the Holy Spirit by allowing Him to lead us, by allowing us to allowing Him to teach us, we will become effective witnesses. Next week, I'm going to cover another three aspects that enable us to become close friends with the Holy Spirit. I hope you were blessed this morning. And allow me to pray for you right now. I want you to stretch your hands. Open up your hands in a posture to receive from God as I pray for you. Father of glory, I pray today for your people. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that you have assigned to them. Lord, I pray for those who have been closed to the working of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those who think that the work of the Holy Spirit is mystic and they cannot attain to it. I pray for a renewal of their minds in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, I pray for a greater level of awareness of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the church would pay attention to the Holy Spirit as they do their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, you said I will not leave you as orphans. Lord, I pray for those who feel like they're orphans right now. May their eyes be opened to the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are a friend. You stick to us closer than a brother would. And so today we are open to you, Holy Spirit. Do a great and a mighty work in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want you to clap your hands to the Lord if you are blessed today, and may the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning from wherever you are watching, whether it's Canada or it's Zimbabwe or it's right here in South Africa. May the Lord bless you. May He preserve you. Do not be anxious for nothing. Pray concerning every situation, and God will give you a breakthrough. So God bless you until we meet next week again. Amen.